on the web at lemelson.org.
This is Morning Edition on 88.9 WCVE, Richmond Public Radio. And Brian Ford joins us live from the offices of RBC Wealth Management for his Monday morning analysis of the business and financial news. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Wayne. How are you?
Just fine, thanks. Well, the markets seem to be going up and down in sync with the geopolitical news day to day.
Yeah, no, I would say that was right. Last week was a decent week on Wall Street with stocks being somewhat up. I mean, the volume of stock trading is a little bit lower in midsummer. But once again, as you say, Russia, Ukraine, and other global conflicts move markets back and forth like a tennis match. Every time it feels like Russia will back off, markets go up strongly. Some analysts believe the next 30 days or so will be crucial because once fall and the wet weather hits eastern Ukraine, there's very little traction and movement that can be done over there very easily. We also heard last week some good and bad news from China's economy. The bad is that bank lending and credit availability for small business owners and consumers dropped significantly in the June period. The good news is that industrial production, retail sales, and property investment were all up double digits year over year over there. Now, while that's slightly below their analyst targets, these numbers still blow away the U.S. and Europe's numbers right now. Back on our shores last week, 9 of 10 sectors in the S&P 500 were up for the week, which was led by healthcare. And bidding wars are now ensuing for two companies, Chiquita Brands, a banana company, and Family Dollar, as potential buyers try to top each other.
Yeah, we talked about that Family Dollar deal a couple weeks ago, but now there's another suitor.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett's company, is doing quite well. They own some newspapers in Virginia, many other things around the country.
Yeah.
And he's known as a wise investor. So if I wanted to buy a share of stock in his company, what would it cost me?
A lot. Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway passed a milestone last week. The stock closed over, ready for this, Wayne, closed over $200,000 a share.
No.
Yes, you heard right. One share of Berkshire Hathaway sells for over $200,000, which is only, interesting, slightly less than the median value of the average single-family home in the U.S., which is kind of a crazy stat. Buffett has been CEO of Berkshire since 1965. It's nearly 50 years, which is an enormously long tenure to be heading a company. And his company now owns or operates about 50 other companies around the world. Buffett, of course, known as the Oracle of Omaha, famously refuses to pay dividends on his stock. But that doesn't seem to bother his shareholders, as the stock, which does have periods of underperformance, you know, now and then, has handily outpaced the S&P 500 over long periods of time. Succession planning, though, for the 83-year-old Buffett and his 89-year-old business partner, Charlie Munger, has always been an issue. But those plans are getting much clearer now that there appears that there are two chief investment officers already in line. The bottom line here, Wayne, is that Buffett is not resting on his laurels. The company has over $50 billion in free cash available. And fresh on the heels of last year's big $23 billion purchase of Heinz Foods, Buffett is bullish on the global economy, and he's hungry for bigger deals.
Hmm. Electric cars in the news. How close are we to the day when the average motorist can just pull up to an electrical outlet and charge up his car?
You know, I think it's getting closer. The car market is about to take a big new step forward. Last week, news came out that Tesla, the electric car company, announced that its next major model, which will be in markets in about 2 years, is going for the holy grail of electric vehicles. That is, going over 200 miles on a single charge and costing less than $40,000. That's a big deal. As of now, electric cars from Nissan or General Motors, Toyota, Tesla, they make up less than 1% of all cars sold in the U.S., partly due to cost and partly due to the length of travel. Most of them only go for about 80 miles and the lack of charging stations. Now it appears battery life and production are getting much better. This is interesting to investors because it shows yet again that industry leaders must continue to innovate or they fall behind. It's also a good sign that more fuel-efficient vehicles will be able to gain market share. I think everybody likes the idea of driving an environmentally friendly car, but when the cost is too high and the convenience isn't there, it prices lots of people out of the market.
Yeah. San Diego County, I understand, is having some financial difficulties, and the authorities there are actually going to get riskier with their investments.
Yeah, this is a great story, Wayne. I would call this the man bites dog department. We all know that many states and municipalities were hit hard by the recession of 2008 and 2009, but many hundreds of U.S. cities and counties remain underfunded in their pensions for retired workers. That basically means they don't have enough money to pay the future bills on pensions to their retirees. So came out recently that San Diego County is in this predicament. They are only 75% funded for future liabilities, which is actually a lot better than they were 5 years ago. And so they recently changed their investment strategy. So makes sense, right? But instead of getting more conservative, the county managers have decided to ramp up the risk in their pension accounts, hoping basically to double down and come out ahead. Now, technically, they're using what are called futures contracts, which could potentially be less risky, but the leverage they employ means they could go the other way fast and lose a ton of money. This story is relevant for all investors, but not just those in San Diego. Most investors at some point will have a shortfall of some kind, either in their family or their business. I tell retirees in this situation frequently, they have basically three tough choices, Wayne. Number one, they can go back to work, which is not very appealing to a lot of people. They can reduce their spending, which can be hard after a lifetime of habits. And number three, they could get more aggressive, which is not really an option due to limited time left for most people. But I think this story about San Diego County is very instructive for investors that when you're in an underfunded situation, doubling down may not always be the best answer.
Thanks, Brian. Brian Ford's report is not a research recommendation for any particular company and does not provide legal or tax advice. He joins us each Monday morning at this time on WCVE's Morning Edition broadcast.
On a Monday, it's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Green.
And I'm Kelly McEvers. 40 years ago this week, America was getting to know.